cooking, and you're going to feel good taking it.
So I got the Calitran, and I got into pants that I had not been into in a year and a half. It also took my hot flashes away.
Hey, this is Jack, and I've been using Calitran. I used to go to the chiropractor at least once a week. The Calitran has definitely helped me, and I definitely recommend it to anybody.
This is Lynn. I've been on Calitran, and I love it, and I've lost 45 pounds.
So where can I get Calitran?
You can go to their website at toploss.com, or you can call them at 833-TOP-LOSS.
More now on President Trump's just concluded summit with the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. The president now coming home to some mixed reactions from some in his own party, including Senate Republican John Kennedy of Louisiana, who says he doesn't trust the leader of the rogue nation, saying he's a butcher and a con artist. And Senate Democrat Robert Menendez of New Jersey says of the joint statement the two men signed at the end of their meeting,
"This is the weakest statement I have ever seen come out of any engagement with North Korea."
British regulators are hitting Yahoo with a $300,000 fine after a 2014 cyber attack that exposed data of over a half million people in the UK. Worldwide, the attack could have affected more than a half a billion Yahoo users. The hack exposing names, hacked passwords, email addresses, telephone numbers, and other information. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
A new bill to discourage abortions introduced in the first state. The bill introduced in the Delaware State Senate would require doctors to offer to perform ultrasounds on women seeking abortions, or the doctors would face civil and criminal penalties. However, unlike some legislative efforts in some other states, this bill would not require the doctor to perform the ultrasound if the woman declines the offer. The legislation was introduced last week and assigned to a Senate committee. Seaford, Delaware Republican and lead sponsor Senator Brian Richardson says,
"This gives a woman the information to make the proper choice. There's nothing unconstitutional about having the information that you need to make the right decision."
Delaware lawmakers are also this week considering legislation that would ban abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. A new report says an average of 37 children die every year after being left unattended in hot vehicles. The report from the National Safety Council says from 1998 through 2017, nationwide heat stroke killed 742 kids left unattended in hot cars. And downtown Washington, currently a sea of red, as NHL fans are celebrating the Washington Capitals' Stanley Cup victory with a huge parade, and there's now going to be a rally on the National Mall. Remember, you can find us online anytime you want. We're at usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is BobBurnsSpeaks.com. And I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah!
This past week was the anniversary of D-Day, the invasion of Normandy in World War II. We'll compare that with war today. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
The week has arrived. The nuclear summit the world has been waiting for. And to think that it all started with my favorite mad rebounding Detroit Piston forward, Dennis Rodman. Kind of crazy to think that Kim Jong-un and I like the same guy. But how it got started is certainly outweighed by the importance of how this historic meeting concludes. Like the grains of sand through the hourglass of a nuclear soap opera, we'll all await word from Capella Resort on Sentosa Island, Singapore this Tuesday to see just how effective this meeting really is. I'm not expecting Rome to be built in a day on June 12th, but if there isn't substantive progress, don't expect these types of diplomatic efforts to continue. But do expect the preemptive strike war drums to start beating more loudly.
Keep us posted. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks happy. We'll hear from him as he shares some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking like he wants to march. You're the founder of the Second Amendment March, aren't you, Skip?
Yeah, that's true, Colonel. We founded the Second Amendment March back in 2009, and then we marched on Washington, D.C. at the Washington Monument then, and we've been holding statewide marches ever since then. And on June 20th, just a few weeks from now, we're going to be at the Lansing State Capitol, and it's just a really cool time with lots of people who love guns and the Second Amendment.
And that's if you're here in Michigan. Skip, other states sometimes have Second Amendment marches,
yep,
too.
Other states do that as well. You can just go to our national website, 2amarch.com. That's the number 2, the letter A, march.com, 2amarch.com.
That's awesome. Hey, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the most decisive act in World War II in Europe, the invasion of Europe on D-Day, 6 June 1944, and how America pulled together to win that war, but we're not pulling together today. Congressman Louis Gohmert feels very strongly that we should not be trying our soldiers for killing in combat, and he'll explain why. Then we're going to meet veteran Judd Mathaney. He's a member of the Tennessee legislature, and he's running for Congress. Former Navy SEAL Mark Longren Hertel will then share about his book, Sierra 2, and his tour to promote Protectors. And Army vet Patrick Gilligan will share about his great book, How to Be Your Own Boss. Boy, is it insightful.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really do welcome your input to the show. Do send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. What's first, Josh?
Defense Secretary Jim Mattis told his South Korean and Japanese counterparts they must maintain a strong defensive stance so the diplomats at the historic nuclear summit with North Korea can negotiate from a position of strength. Mattis was speaking at a meeting with South Korean Defense Minister Song Yoo-mu and Japanese Defense Minister Utsunori Onodera on the final day of the Shangri-La Dialogue Security Conference. He said allies must remain vigilant, saying, quote, "We can anticipate, at best, a bumpy road to the negotiations. In this moment, we are steadfastly committed to strengthening even further our defense cooperation as the best means for preserving the peace," end quote. Plans are set and moving apace for the nuclear weapons summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, set for this Tuesday, June 12th, in Singapore. And Mattis repeated the U.S. position that North Korea will only receive relief from the U.N. national security sanctions when it demonstrates verifiable and irreversible steps to denuclearization. Song said that this is a great turning point as North Korea takes its first steps toward denuclearization. The South Korean defense minister added, quote, "Of course, given North Korea's past, we must be cautious in approaching this," end quote. He added that some of North Korea's recent measures, quote, "give us reasons to be positive, and one can be cautiously optimistic as we move forward," end quote.
I'm delighted that Secretary Mattis has retained his totally practical perspective on North Korea. This is going to be a long and rough road, which may or may not lead to a successful conclusion. But we can't resolve these real issues peacefully if we don't try. I'm glad we're moving forward with both great resolve and great caution.
If it came down to it, the U.S. military has a track record of taking down small islands, such as the artificial and fortified ones China has created in the disputed South China Sea. So said Marine Lieutenant General Kenneth McKenzie in response to an over-the-top hypothetical at a Pentagon news briefing. McKenzie, the Pentagon's joint staff director, said he was not making threats, and his audience shouldn't read anything more into that than a simple statement of historical fact. It's just a fact. General McKenzie said, quote, "We have a lot of experience in the Second World War, taking down small islands that are isolated. So that's a core competency of the U.S. military," end quote. McKenzie's statements were in the context of the long-running dispute between the U.S. and China over that country's military buildup and territorial claims on several of the islet chains and atolls in the South China Sea. China's territorial claims conflict with those of Vietnam, the Philippines, and other nations in the region.
"I'm really glad our Pentagon has a consistent message of strength to China, North Korea, and the world."
The Defense Department is on the verge of naming military bases to house the overflow of children taken into custody at the Mexican border as civilian shelters reach capacity. Dana White, the DOD's chief spokesperson, said, quote, "I can tell you that we are very open to providing facilities and working closely with them to ensure that their needs are met," end quote. According to HHS, there are currently about 100 civilian shelters for unaccompanied alien children in 14 states. In a similar surge at the border in 2014, a total of over 7,000 children were housed temporarily at military bases. The consideration of the military bases to shelter children taken into custody at the border was prompted by a surge of about 20% in the number of children at shelters in May. HHS reported about 11,000 migrant children in custody at the end of May, up about 2,000 from the previous month. This is a result of President Trump's zero-tolerance policy on illegal immigration. Adults crossing illegally face criminal prosecution and can be held in federal jails. Minors under the age of 18 cannot be prosecuted or put in federal detention under U.S. law. Customs officials said that 638 adults were referred for criminal prosecution between May 6 and May 19, and that those 638 adults had a total of 658 children with them. Stephen Wagner, acting assistant secretary for the Administration for Children and Families at HHS, said, quote, "The unaccompanied alien children program is being abused. It was never intended to be a foster care system with over 10,000 children in custody at an immediate cost to the federal taxpayer of $1 billion per year," end quote.
"Illegal aliens are illegal, and this is a nation of laws. No one has the option to obey or disregard the law. Why should our tax dollars be spent on illegals when there are needy Americans, including veterans, who need help? And it's outrageous to use our military facilities to house these illegals. That's not why these military bases were built, and the support for the illegals consume resources, and the possible damage to our military facilities and equipment by these illegals is not acceptable. This is not a good idea."
The Taliban fighters who attacked the Afghan Interior Ministry late last month were wearing old U.S. Army camouflage pattern uniforms and driving a captured Humvee, a tactic the enemy has used in the past, said the commander of U.S. forces in Afghanistan. Army General Nicholson said, quote, "Eight terrorists in a captured Humvee attempted to penetrate the Minister of Interior headquarters in downtown Kabul," end quote. They were attempting to drive through a checkpoint into the government complex when they were stopped by Afghan security. Nicholson said, quote, "The good news is that the Afghan guards at the gate immediately recognized these as old uniforms, called on them to exit the vehicle so they could be checked out, and at that point, the fighting started," end quote. Nicholson said he was told one of the attackers detonated his suicide vest and actually killed himself and some of his colleagues as they were conducting the attack. He said, quote, "They never gained entrance to the headquarters." It is believed that the Taliban's Haqqani network launched the attack, as it tracks with the group's previous tactics. In the past, enemy forces have used captured uniforms in attempts to fool security.
"I'm glad that the Afghan military can spot these war criminals and deal with them. International law requires combatants to wear distinctive uniforms and prohibits wearing other than their own uniforms. Because these terrorists violate these laws, they are war criminals and should be dealt with as such." And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we're going to talk about combat trials with Congressman Lumi Gohmert. Eddie's troops, take a break. All of us are trying to live the great American dream, but now you can wear it too. LuLaRoe's new American Dreams collection captures the nostalgic spirit of the 60s and the 70s with clothing inspired by family, love, and freedom.
With 20 styles for men, women, tweens, and kids, there are enough stars and stripes for the whole family. Get decked out for the 4th by going to LuLaRoe.com, follow LuLaRoe on Instagram and Facebook, and the hashtag LuLaRoe American Dreams.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. I'm often asked, at what age should you start teaching your kids about guns? There's no magic age, as all kids are different. The most important thing is to teach them gun safety. Teach them never to touch a gun unless mom or dad are supervising. And always keep your guns locked up in a quality gun safe where kids can't get to them. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
We're Sound Income Strategies, and baby boomers who work with us know the secret to a great retirement is our middle name, income. At Sound Income Strategies, we transform high-fee, high-taxed retirement spend-down schemes into sustained retirement income. And we can do the same for you. For your free, no-obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
It's time to get off the Wall Street roller coaster, stop the retirement spend down schemes, and join the income generation. For your free, no obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. Sound Income Strategies, the secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
Call 866-913-1234.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Honoring Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are information and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and the fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Probably because I'm both a veteran and a military history buff, 6 June is an important date to me. On 6 June 1944, during World War II, Allied forces invaded France in the turning point in the war in Europe. Less than a year later, Germany surrendered. America won World War II because our Congress named the enemy and declared war, and our whole nation went to war, not just our military. Let me talk about this great battle, D-Day, the day the Allies crossed the English Channel and landed on the beaches of Normandy, France, beginning the liberation of Western Europe from Nazi control. Within 3 months, we were preparing to attack Germany. With Hitler's armies in control of much of Europe, we knew that an invasion was central to winning the war, and Hitler knew it too. He was expecting an assault on northwestern Europe. He hoped to repel the Allies with a strong counterattack that would delay future invasion attempts, giving him the time to defeat the Soviet Union in the east. Then he believed an all-out victory would soon be his. On the 5th of June, 1944, General Dwight Eisenhower, the supreme commander of Allied forces in Europe, gave the go-ahead for Operation Overlord, the largest military amphibious operation in history. 6,000 landing craft, ships, and other vessels carrying 176,000 troops began to leave England for France. That night, 822 aircraft filled with parachutists headed over, and 13,000 aircraft provided air cover and support for the invasion. By dawn, 18,000 parachutists were on the ground and the land invasions began. The British and Canadians overcame light opposition to capture Gold, Juno, and Sword beaches. So did the Americans at Utah, but it was much tougher at Omaha Beach, where 2,000 troops were lost, and it was only through hard fighting that we won. By day's end, 155,000 Allied troops were ashore. For their part, the Germans suffered from confusion and the absence of a commander, because Field Marshal Erwin Rommel was on leave. At first, Hitler, believing the invasion was a feint to distract from an attack north of the Seine River, he refused to release nearby divisions to join the counterattack. He also hesitated in calling for armored divisions to help. Further, the Germans were hampered by ineffective Allied air support, which took out many key bridges, forcing long detours, as well as by Allied naval support protecting the advancing Allied troops. So D-Day was a decided success. By the end of June, the Allies were poised to continue their march across Europe. And in America, the citizens not only cheered them on, they continued to work to supply and support these troops. No American serviceman had to worry about being called names or spit on when he returned home. We were all proud of him. You see, the entire nation was at war. There was a draft and rationing. Gasoline and shoes were among the many things rationed. And most Americans purchased victory bonds to help the government afford to continue the war. Many families had what was called victory gardens, where citizens grew as much of the food as they could possibly do so that food raised on farms could feed our troops and our allies. We as a nation pulled together. Have you noticed that we're not likely to do that today? One of the big problems is that our national leadership, both presidents and Congress, have failed us. They won't name the enemy, and they won't declare war. If you haven't noticed, all of our enemies are what I call radical Islamists. They all say they adhere literally to Islam, and many are prepared to die for their cause. And because we haven't named an enemy, we have goofy rules of engagement that put our soldiers at increased risk. Because there is no draft, most Americans see our wars as little more than another athletic event, and they're free to protest against our troops and attack them and our families, verbally or otherwise. This lack of commitment to victory and a named enemy causes confusion. Most people don't have any idea what a victory would look like, so how do we know what we're fighting to achieve? The net result seems to be an endless war, which I consider immoral. I challenge our government to name the enemy, radical Islam, and name what victory looks like, all of them dead, and why victory is worth the lives of our finest citizens. Then spend every dime necessary to achieve a rapid and violent victory, and then we're done. Everybody can come home. And I challenge all the haters in our nation to give it up. When you spend your time and energy calling names, you only show that you have few, if any, facts and that you lack respect for our nation. If you don't like it here, live somewhere else. If you don't like an elected official, then deal with it the American way. Start working now to get him or her replaced in the next election. Don't work at dividing our nation by spewing hatred. We need our nation to pull together again, not because we all see things the same way, but because we know that good Americans come in all flavors, and that's a strength, and we respect each other. Then our nation can achieve our nation's goals and achieve the respect they deserve. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have today, Roland?
Just in time for hurricane season, we have a new leader of the U.S. Coast Guard. Last week, Admiral Carl Schultz became the 26th Commandant of the Coast Guard, and he is inheriting a service that is going through a fleet modernization while juggling priorities from homeland security, drug interdiction, and disaster response. Admiral Schultz is replacing Admiral Zunkoff, who led the Coast Guard since 2014 and was instrumental in increasing the Coast Guard's budget to nearly $11 billion and the start of modernizing the aging fleet of ships after years of budget cuts. Frontlines of Freedom has had Admiral Zunkoff on the show a number of times, including last year when he announced a new ship that was going to be built. The Coast Guard is one of five military branches. However, the 227-year-old service is not part of the Department of Defense, but rather, it's part of the Department of Homeland Security. In 2017, the Coast Guard seized a record 455,000 pounds of cocaine while patrolling waters off the coast of Colombia and Peru. That had a wholesale street value of over $7.2 billion. It also arrested more than 600 drug traffickers and captured nearly 3,500 people trying to enter the United States illegally. The president nominated Admiral Schultz in March, and he was confirmed by the Senate late last month. The admiral graduated from the Coast Guard Academy in 1983. He was the Coast Guard's Atlantic Area Commander, and last year oversaw the Coast Guard's response to Hurricanes Irma, Maria, and Harvey. The service rescued nearly 12,000 people along the East Coast, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands during one of the deadliest hurricane seasons in many years. Admiral Schultz has also served as Director of Operations for the United States Southern Command, where he directed joint military operations in the Caribbean and Central and South America. The Coast Guard plays a crucial role in protecting the Southwest border by intercepting drugs and migrants before they can reach the United States. The change of command was attended by President Trump, Vice President Pence, and the Secretary of Homeland Security, Christian Nelson. The president praised the admiral by saying, quote, "I have complete confidence that Carl will carry out his new mission with talents and devotion that has characterized his entire career." You know, I have a good friend of mine that worked for the admiral back when he was a commander of a 270-foot cutter, and he said he was not surprised at all about the nomination of the admiral. Admiral Schultz was one of his personal mentors when he first was commissioned as an ensign in the U.S. Coast Guard. So, great job, President Trump, for nominating such a great man to be the new commandant of the U.S. Coast Guard. And, of course, we look forward to having the new commandant on the show in the next few months. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. You're one amazing guy. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, Congressman Louie Gohmert will discuss combat trials, and then we'll meet an Army veteran who's running for Congress. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, we're doing pull-ups. Let's do 25, then stand at ease.
Spartan Ash holds a special place in its heart for Honor and Remember, and we're proud to sponsor Run for the Fallen as another way to honor those who paid the ultimate sacrifice and service to our country. Run for the Fallen is a 6,000-mile run taking place from April 7th to August 5th.
Each day, a team of runners will set out, stopping 1 mile at a time to read the name of a fallen soldier out loud.
To join the Run for the Fallen as a volunteer or to show your support, visit runforthefallen.org.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
USA Radio News.
President Trump is set to arrive in Hawaii tonight around 10 o'clock Eastern Time, this after meeting yesterday in Singapore with North Korea's Kim Jong-un and coming together on an agreement for complete denuclearization of North Korea. But count Senator Lindsey Graham as one of the guys who is still cautious regarding this agreement.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm very pleased with President Trump thus far, but we've got a long ways to go. They've done this twice, and we can't let them do it a third time.
President Trump said the summit may not have even happened had it not been for this one person.
Otto Warmbier is a very special person, and he will be for a long time in my life. His parents are good friends of mine. I think without Otto, this would not have happened. Otto did not die in vain. He had a lot to do with us being here today.
Quick look at your numbers midway through the trading day this Tuesday. Currently, the Dow is up right around 10 points. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I currently skipping stones with four locals and one grizzly bear outside this Riverside Lodge in Portland? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because, honestly, the bear just kind of joined in, and now we're afraid that if we stop, he'll get angry. He can smell our fear. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get a
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome to the show Congressman Louie Gohmert from Texas. The congressman is a veteran and a very, very interested in protecting our currently serving service members from abuse, particularly judicial abuse. So, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Congressman.
Danny, great to be talking to you. Thank you.
Murray, let's start with your background. You joined the Army to be an infantryman, but you ended up a JAG. Why did you join, and how did all that work out?
Well, look, I was an Eagle Scout. I grew up in East Texas. I was a good ground pounder and enjoyed it. Good with military strategy. And actually, when I was in school, Vietnam was still going on, and I thought, well, I'll end up being an infantry officer, and like the other people from my hometown, they were in Vietnam 6 months after they graduated, but Vietnam ended before I finished at Texas A&M, and so then here the colonel is really pushing, said, hey, the Army wants you to go do more education before you come on active duty, so I did, and I got a law degree. I didn't know whether they'd bring me on infantry or JAG. And they said they got slots anywhere you wanted to go. So I put on my dream sheet. I just got married. We had no kids, Germany. And so they sent me to Fort Benning, Georgia, and sent me to the home of the infantry, but in JAG. So I'm quite familiar with the UCMJ and the military jurisprudence. But I've also, in civilian life, been a prosecutor, assistant DA. I've been a felony judge, and I've been an appellate chief justice, so I've got pretty good exposure to both the military and civilian justice system.
That makes sense. When I want to impress people, I tell them that I used to teach law at Stanford. Well, I did. I was in the ROTC department, and I taught the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
So are you as smart as President Obama was? You know, he was an adjunct instructor, not a professor, but instructor for a bit up in Chicago.
No, I'm afraid I was an assistant professor of military science, but I do have a degree from Stanford somewhere, so I can play the cool game.
Yeah, much better qualification.
Okay, so you went to law school, got in the military. How long did you stay in Mother Army?
Well, I planned if we were at war and combat anywhere, I would stay in beyond my four-year active commitment, but we were not, and so I came back to East Texas and settled down in Tyler, Texas, and so, yep, 4 years active.
Okay, so you practiced law. When and why did you decide to run for Congress?
Well, actually, after I had been doing quite well as a civil litigation lawyer, trying civil cases, it became very clear in the 90s that we needed a new district judge in Texas. That's a felony level judge. And I tried for 6 months to talk people in Tyler into running for that position against the incumbent, and nobody would step up. Nobody would admit that they were willing to step up. And my wife and I wrestled with it, prayed about it. And 6 months later, just a week before the filing started, we just had a real peace. Looks like this is what you are supposed to do. You know, my mother spent a decade before she passed away, saying, you know, Louis, God meant for you to be a public servant. You'd be a good judge. And I, Mom, I don't want to be a judge. They don't make as much money as I do. I couldn't sit around and listen to some of these lawyers. They're not that good. But anyway, I ended up, nobody else would run. I did. Defeated the incumbent judge who had never lost a race in 30 years. And then 10 years on the bench caused me to know in my heart we needed to change some of our federal laws, and the Constitution does not allow us to change our laws legislatively if you're a judge, even though many judges do that very thing. So
I'm glad you explained
you are supposed to do if you want to legislate and you're a judge. You finish your term on the bench, and then you run for Congress.
Okay. How long ago was that?
That was in 2004.
And obviously you've been reelected once or twice?
Yes. Since I took office January 5th, I've been elected 7 times.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the career and pretty soon the situations regarding criminal trials for combat troops with Congressman Louis Gohmert. Louis, you got into Congress. You're there now.
Hmm?
It just appears that Congress doesn't function awfully well.
Well, and you got to keep in mind, the founders, and I heard Justice Scalia explain this to a group from Texas years ago, and he said, you know, the reason that America has more rights than most every nation, you know, they all come from our Creator, but it's because our founders did not trust government. So they wanted to make it as difficult as possible to pass laws. And that's why we have the three branches and two houses in the legislative branch. And they wanted it very difficult to pass laws. So from that standpoint, we're doing good. We're not making it easy to pass laws because virtually every law you pass, to some extent or other, it does take away some right, some freedom to some extent, and places government there. That's why so many of us want to pass laws that return our freedoms to us that have been taken away. But we can't survive without having people willing to step up and defend those rights. Some say, well, if they're God-given rights, why doesn't everybody have them? Well, it's like if you inherit something from your parent, but you're not willing to defend what you inherit, then you're not going to keep it. People that are meaner or thieves, they're going to take it unless you're willing to defend it. And thank God we've had people for our nation's history that were willing to step up and defend these God-given rights. Otherwise, we don't get to keep them.
You know, this is an election year, so we're going to be electing all congressmen are up this year, a third of the senators, and in states, other people. This is a time right now when we need to be paying attention to who the candidates are.
Yes, absolutely.
The right people. Isn't that right?
That's exactly right, because as the old adage goes, democracy ensures people are governed no better than they deserve. So whether or not you like President Trump or President Obama or Bush or Clinton or prior Bush or Reagan, you know, Jimmy Carter, every president is who this nation deserved at the time they got elected. So it is extremely critically important that people make themselves aware of the candidates for the various offices and then, you know, support them, vote for them, those kind of things. That's critical to this place surviving.
You know, I consider that I would be willing to bet that not one in 100 citizens anywhere could name 5 elected officials they voted for. And therefore, they don't communicate with them. They don't even know who they are. Many of them don't even know that the office exists. They might vote a list because their party or their support group gave them a list of people to vote for, but they don't even know who they are or what the job is and don't communicate with them. That's not very good stewardship, is it?
No, it's not very good stewardship. Now, from East Texas, I think people do a better job of knowing who it is they're electing. And most of the people I know, they can name more than 5 people that they voted for. But that's, you know, when people are involved, they're paying attention. They know who their city council, their mayor, their county commissioners, county judge, you know, they know who those people are. That's what's so important. But anyway, it is extremely important. But then when you get to the very top spot, when you're talking about the president, then you're talking about the commander-in-chief, the top officer over everyone in our military. And boy, as President Obama once said, hey, elections have consequences, and man, do they. And I don't know if you want to get into this, but I just got to say, you know, under the 7.25 years we were in Afghanistan under Commander-in-Chief George W. Bush, we lost just over 600 precious American military lives. During the 8 years of President Obama, we lost nearly exactly three times more precious American military lives. And Denny, I can't help but believe it is because of the rules of engagement and the fact that, you know, people were instructed and ordered that basically you're not to fire unless you're, number one, fired upon, and you can be assured that there will be no civilians in the area.
So rules of engagement and charging active duty servicemen with criminal charges for conducting war in combat is what we're going to talk about when we come back. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. Why would a U.S. soldier in combat be jailed for shooting the enemy? I mean, isn't that why we send our troops into combat? Yet a number of our troops are or have been in military prison for murder for killing our enemies. The problem is confusing rules of engagement and some of our leaders who lack the courage to stand up for their troops. United American Patriots stands up for these troops. Check UnitedPatriots.org. That's UnitedPatriots.org.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
D
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're continuing our conversation with Congressman Louie Gohmert from Texas. Our topic now is how our combat troops are being treated by our military judicial system. Louie, I can't even imagine, as a commander in combat in Vietnam, having one of my troops charged with murder for killing an enemy during combat, and I certainly would not have approved such charges, and I would have testified on his behalf. But that didn't happen, did it?
No, it's not happened far too many times. Now, I've seen numbers somebody gave me that indicated there were through World War One, World War Two, Korea, and Vietnam, that we had 7 of our military members charged with combat-related crimes, crimes committed, you know, during combat theaters. And then since then, we're talking about Iraq and Afghanistan, Iraq 1 and Kuwait, Afghanistan. These, we've had, well, I've seen a report of over 200, and then I've been told it's a whole lot more than that. I don't know, but to go from 7, only 7 in 2 world wars in Vietnam, to over 200 of our military being tried for committing crimes during combat, something just seems badly askew. And when you get to looking into it, I don't see how you can arrive at any other conclusion that we have people who are not being allowed to defend themselves. I mean, I read statements, to answers to questions, deposition from a C-130 gunship crew talking about when our SEAL team, 6 members and other valiant warriors were killed in Afghanistan, the worst SEAL team disaster in their history, SEAL Team 6 too. But the C-130, they had thermo, they had all kinds of incredible equipment, and they saw these guys moving in military movements toward a building, climbed up on a tower. They asked for permission to take them out. They were told no, they couldn't take them out. They might hit some civilians. They watched them fire an RPG and miss the Chinook that had all our great military members in it, including a bunch of SEAL Team 6. And they missed with the first one, hit with the second and third, killed them, took the thing down. They watched them climbing down from the tower. They watched them leave. And at each stage, they asked permission to take them out, and they were not permitted to take them out. I mean, I just can't think of another time in American history that we would not be defending our military members. If you see somebody that is a threat and is an imminent threat to the lives of our military members, you stop them. So I can't help but think that that's why we see 3 times as many deaths of our military members in the service under Commander-in-Chief Obama than we saw under similar circumstances under Commander-in-Chief Bush. I know, Denny, you have heard this. It's been talked about. Gee, we're wondering, should we do one thing or do another? Should we fire weapons and risk going to Leavenworth or not fire weapons and be more assured of getting killed? And often our military, from what I'm hearing from people, they would rather choose to have a high probability of getting killed rather than risk having to go to Leavenworth as a prisoner, as a military prisoner. So that gets our people killed. It just does.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing these weird combat trials with Congressman Louie Gohmert. Louie, I can't imagine that. Beyond that, I can't imagine colonels and generals not resigning in protest rather than going along with this.
Well, now keep in mind that during the Obama administration, you did have a number of purges, and they took out general officers, flag officer levels, and others who made clear that they were going to stand up for what was right. And if that was your position, you were going to stand up for your military members, then you probably didn't survive one of the several purges. That's why I really felt like President Trump would have been better off to say, look, if you got 2 stars or more, then thank you very much for your service, but we're going to get some people in here that don't think like Secretary Mattis that it's better to take $140,000 away from our bullets and buying bullets and buying bulletproof vests and up-arming things and spend that on changing surgically somebody's gender. I mean, I just can't imagine. Even when you're for sex change operations, why would you take money that's keeping your military alive, keeping them properly armed and defended, and invest that on somebody that's not going to likely be able to be deployed for 2 years during the pre-surgery hormonal treatments, the post-surgery hormonal treatments, and then again, you got to wait till a proper physician will certify that the individual is comfortable in their new gender. Fine, you want to change genders? Do it before you come into the service. But Mattis has indicated, he's made it clear, he thinks it's perfectly fine to take money away from proper military training. Of course, you know, we're losing military that not having enough money for proper training. But Mattis is still fine with spending that money on sex change surgeries. He thinks that's good for the good order and discipline. And why would he think that? Because he survived all the purges during the Obama years.
This is
that may not be stuff you want to hear, Denny, but that's I call them like I see them.
That is a delight. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the excessive combat trials with Congressman Louie Gohmert. Louie, we've just got a couple of minutes left. What can American citizens do to protect our brave warriors from these nonsense charges? Give us a concluding statement, a call to action. What can we do this election year?
Well, we have a president who I know personally cares deeply about our military. Let your president know. And it doesn't hurt to let your members of Congress and senators know how you want the rules of engagement changed to protect our military, and you want the trials to stop in the prosecuting of our military members who did nothing more than defend their brothers and sisters in combat situations. It's got to stop. And, you know, Mattis still has some of that carryover mentality from the Obama years. And it's got to change. It's got to stop. And so let the White House know. President Trump may not see the letters, but he gets information on what has people upset, and especially if it comes from our military. Because, again, like President George W. Bush, President Trump cares deeply about what our military think. And so let him know. If you're in the military, of course, I remember my 4 years on active duty, you can't say anything derogatory about a current commander up the chain of command. But you can let your commander, including commander-in-chief, know about concerns you have with certain things that are going on.
Louie, that is a great call to action. We, the citizens, it's our country.
You
if we don't take care of it, then we have no complaint. That was sort of one of your opening comments, and it's very true. We have to take care of this thing,
right,
or it's going to be damaged, and it's our fault. Thank you, Congressman, for taking time to join us today.
Well, listen, I can't thank you enough for your service to the country, Denny, and for even after you're no longer on active duty, you never quit caring about our military members and the sacrifices they make for us.
Amen, my friend.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much.
Here's our Stand Tall Troop report. This is where we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we're privileged to honor this time 2 fine troops. For the second time this year, the Air Force has awarded 2 AC-10C Thunderbolt pilots the Distinguished Flying Cross for separate close air support missions protecting American-backed Syrian Democratic Forces. Major Matthew Chowder Chikowski and Captain William Archer Dana of the 74th Fighter Squadron at Moody Air Force Base in Georgia received the award during a ceremony on March 23rd. Dana and Chikowski had been stationed together at Incirlik Air Force Base in Turkey and were recognized for their actions to stave off the enemy in various locations in the Middle East. On August 14, 2017, Dana received a call that more than 8 positions were being overrun and casualties were mounting. Covering the battlefield for more than 3 hours, he dropped 11,000 pounds of weapons and killing 37 enemies and destroying 10 enemy defensive fighting positions with no friendly loss. And during that mission, his A-10 was tracked by a pro-regime aircraft. The Air Force didn't disclose whether the aircraft belonged to Syria, Iranian-backed militia, or Russian air forces operating in the area. Low on fuel and almost out of munition, Dana at one point elected to conduct an airstrike on enemies attacking friendly forces from a 4-story building nearly 100 feet away. He got them. On a separate mission earlier this year, Chikowski and his wingmen were called to boost forces outnumbered 3-1 by enemy combatants. Their A-10 was also tracked, this time by surface-to-air missiles. Quote, "We've been diving a lot and had already been shot at once," Chikowski said. "We started to realize this was a coordinated attack and not a random fight like we originally thought. At this point, neither of us were strangers to combat with friendlies close. We knew what to do and how to do it correctly. Joukowsky worked with a JTAC and a drone operating overhead to gauge the scope of the operation, identifying 25 enemy fighters about 500 feet away from U.S.-backed forces. He dropped a 2,000-pound joint direct attack munition and then used the tank-shredding GAU-8 guns to wipe out the rest of the enemy while encountering more anti-aircraft artillery strikes. Joukowsky's mission thwarted the largest coordinated attack of enemy fighters seen in that region without a single friendly loss, officials said. So stand tall, Major Joukowsky and Captain Dana. Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour of the show talking with Tennessee legislator and veteran Judge Matheny. Then former SEAL Mark Longren Hurdle will discuss his new book, Sierra 2. And Patrick Gillikin will discuss his interesting book, Be Your Own Boss. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed American Report. This is Colonel Danny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's spring. Go out and run a couple of miles of wind sprints. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Sergeant Dale Beatty was wounded by a roadside bomb.
Colonists, Swift 1-2 is en route with urgent HVAC to Mercy. ETA approximately 35 minutes. How got it?
Now begins the most important journey of his life.
Roger, Swift 1-2.
From the battlefield to home. Home to some very good medicine. His family's love. They'll be staying together at one of the many Fisher houses to help Dale get better and return to his life. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Fisher House is among the highest rated charities, with 95% of donations going to help our military families in their time of greatest need. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Consider a tax-deductible gift to Fisher House. Fisher House, because a family's love is good medicine. Go to fisherhouse.org for more information.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump now heading home from his historic meeting with Kim Jong-un, telling a number of reporters he's confident the North Korean leader is serious about beginning denuclearization. President Trump and Kim also agreeing to bring back the remains of American service persons who went missing during the Korean War. Trump making that announcement after their historic meeting in Singapore, after which he sat down with ABC's George Stephanopoulos and talked about his perceptions of the North Korean leader.
You know, over my lifetime, I've done a lot of deals with a lot of people, and sometimes the people that you most distrust turn out to be the most honorable ones, and the people that you do trust, they are not the honorable ones.
Primary ballots being cast today in Virginia, Nevada, Maine, North Dakota, and South Carolina. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Ugh, you guys, I am so ready for the beach.
I'm not.
What? The trip is coming up soon.
Yeah, my beach body is nowhere close to where I want it to be.
Same here. I've got to lose some weight before we go.
Plus, I know you're going to want to post pictures from the trip all over Facebook.
Well, why don't you guys try Calitrin?
Calitrin? That sounds really familiar.
It's super easy to take, and it's even healthy for you. You just take it at bedtime, and it does all the work for you.
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking, and you're going to feel good taking it.
So I got the Calitrin.
veteran, and I got into pants that I had not been into in a year and a half. It also took my hot flashes away.
Hey, this is Jack, and I've been using Calitrin. I used to go to the chiropractor at least once a week. The Calitrin has definitely helped me, and I definitely recommend it to anybody.
This is Lynn. I've been on Calitrin, and I love it, and I've lost 45 pounds.
So where can I get Calitrin?
You can go to their website at toploss.com, or you can call them at 833-TOP-LOSS.
More now on President Trump's just concluded summit with the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. The president now coming home to some mixed reactions from some in his own party, including Senate Republican John Kennedy of Louisiana, who says he doesn't trust the leader of the rogue nation, saying he's a butcher and a con artist. And Senate Democrat Robert Menendez of New Jersey says of the joint statement the two men signed at the end of their meeting,
"This is the weakest statement I have ever seen come out of any engagement with North Korea."
British regulators are hitting Yahoo with a $300,000 fine after a 2014 cyber attack that exposed data of over 500,000 people in the UK. Worldwide, the attack could have affected more than 500,000,000 Yahoo users. The hack exposing names, hacked passwords, email addresses, telephone numbers, and other information. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem?